this point, we'll bring the County Discovery Bay Water Wastewater Treatment Committee meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Okay. Public comments. At the moment, there's no public in the room, so we'll close public comments. Do I hear a motion to approve the draft minutes of last week?
So moved.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Discussion items. Staff.
We bring back to you Gregory and Virgil. Where we left off last time regarding the operations manual was for staff to go back and take a look to get thumbnail pricing on what an O&M manual would cost. We've used Stantec in the past, but we wanted to compare that against other benchmark figures that may be out there. So I'm going to turn this over to, we can start with Virgil and then we'll go
no.
over. No. I'm Bernie, and then I do that all the time. Bernie and then go to the
I can see why.
So I went out and tried to get some general cost information, and I was giving ballpark figures because nobody really wants to lock in anything commitment-wise, but talking to different people, O&M manuals can run from $50,000 to $250,000+. It just depends on what you put in the manual and what kind of information you want. If you're wanting just a Word document, PDF, electronic version, and what type of information you want in that manual. It's basically, cost is coming from time. It's just time and material. How much time they're charging you for how long it takes to do the manual that you want. So, from what we gathered on the Stantec proposal, it kind of covers generally what we're wanting. It's just what kind of format do we want and how do we want it to move forward? Do we just want a PDF version or do we want an electronic version that we can, as a living document, we can move on in the future? So it's basically what do we want this manual for and how we want to use it and what kind of information we want on it is going to be the cost of what it is. To me, it's a big range there, so I think that's the discussion we need to have is what we want in the manual and go from there, from what I think. And then Gregory's got some additional information also.
All right.
So I've been working with Stantec on an O&M manual for Selma Kingsburg Fowler. And Selma Kingsburg Fowler Sanitation District, so they're just south of Fresno, in the great towns of Selma, Kingsburg, and Fowler, and they're just south of Fresno there. And we have actual costs for them. We're about 3/4 of the way through that, and we're projecting 3 to finish. There'd be around $140,000 for that manual. There's about 25 chapters in that manual. It's just one treatment plant, just the core treatment plant, where Discovery Bay chapters is both plants and all the pump stations. So there's about 38 chapters versus 25. So if you scale that up versus their proposal, it's cheaper per chapter than what SKF is paying, per se. So that was a comparison of just rough costs, you know, in terms of at least for Stantec's rates and how they go about it, how they compare to what they were offering the town, you know, in terms of what they're doing. Like Bernie said, a lot of labor is just digging out drawings, editing drawings to make them more appropriate for an O&M manual versus a construction drawing set, taking and finding existing O&M manual, reading those manuals, pulling pertinent data forward, and then properly linking back to the existing O&M manual on specific equipment. And then, as Bernie said, you know, a lot of the cost comes down. You know, some O&M manuals are web-based. You know, it's like a web page, and you can go to the web page, and then you can click right on through, and anybody in any part of the town that has a password can log in and view it, or they can view it on their laptop or whatnot, kind of like the SCADA system now, because they can remotely see the SCADA system. And other versions are just, hey, it's just a text manual. It has limited drawings in it, you know, or limited items in it, but it gives you the general, how you kind of generally run the plant. This is kind of in the middle in that it's specific to this plant. They go get the drawings and they get the O&M manuals. They go through all that information. They edit those drawings and make them appropriate for the manual. They pick up all the chapters for all the facilities. But it's not web-based. It is at the end of the day a PDF file. You get the Word document, but then if somebody else wants to add to it, you know, you might mess up the formatting or whatnot, you know, on pages and things if you just start dropping text in the middle of it. But it's certainly possible you have the Word file, you know, to do it. And they're done by chapter. Certainly the basic information is there for you to edit as you go forward, but it isn't set up for automatic editing. It's set up for someone that knows how to do the word processing and how to move the figures around and stuff to put text in, and then you could reprint a new manual, you know, at some point if you wanted to do that. At the moment, we are, obviously we need a manual. Bernie's right. Regardless of whether we hire Stantec or whether we go out to RFP, you know, and get prices to do it, the scope of work is going to be important. You know, properly defining the scope of work and what we want them to do is going to be important, you know, per se. Frankly, for a quality O&M manual, you know, it's going to be in this ballpark. No one's coming in here and saying $50,000. You're not getting a 38 chapter O&M manual with pertinent information for $50,000. That isn't going to happen. The most important thing to me, I think, is we want a manual that Biola staff can use and read. I mean, it's got to be in a format and it's suitable for them to use, because you don't want to go spend all this money for something sent to the shelf. And you actually use the kind of the draft manual you use occasionally.
Yeah, it's a reference.
Reference, you know. And when they have new people, they have turnover, this is what you hand them. You say, look, it's in the manual. This is how a lot of general information is in there. So, frankly, that's sort of the conclusion toward the pricing, which was towards your question. We can sit down with Stantec and negotiate. For instance, Stantec was like, you know, if we don't want certain features, they can take money out of the project if you know, they want, you know, fewer references, or maybe they don't reference existing O&M manuals, they just discuss the plan and generically how the plan runs. They've also said that they can take, I talked to Steve and he said, right now their proposal is $185,000. They can take $20,000 and just put it in contingency for things that aren't clear right now when they originally wrote the scope that maybe they use and maybe we don't use, but it's at our discretion, and that would take the cost of the manual, bring more of a basic manual, and it would be in there around $165,000 instead of and then, of course, we can bring Stantec in and have them give a presentation on the options, too. I mean, if you want to do that. I mean, there's different things that we can do. But establishing what we want is the most important, because that's what we got to do.
Yeah. The Kingsford one right now, uh-huh. That would be a written version at the end of the day, a book.
Yeah, so the one for Kingsburg, they go read the existing manuals, they custom make the drawings for the manual itself, they colorize them and make them appropriate for an O&M manual, but at the end of the day, it's a PDF document. You get all the Word files, but if you wanted to make a change, you'd edit the Word file, and then you'd have to make a PDF out of it, insert it in the book, do your own formatting, and then you'd have the updated version. You know, that's essentially what you have. But it's current as of, you know, the end of the year. It'll be current for what's out there right now. That's what you have. You do, at the minimum, you do want all the electronic information, so you can at least edit it, you know, as you go forward. And as long as someone's got decent word processing skills and PDF making skills and stuff like that, then you can assign somebody to make changes to it, you know.
What's the advantage of a web-based?
Well, the web-based is, as you get bigger, you have more and more people trying to interact with the manual, and unless you link more information. So if you go web-based, you have a server, and maybe all these O&M manuals are electronics. You know, so like in the filter project we just built, there's probably 25 O&M manuals specific to equipment that were there. So like we have a DO analyzer, not DO, but we have a turbidity analyzer. And there's a manual on that analyzer. It's how you program it. It's how you run it. That manual might be 50 pages, okay, for that analyzer.
But then it would be linked as opposed
right.
to being part of the
site. If it's web-based, you make a link that takes you to that electronic version of that manual. And the reason the link works is because it's all in one place, right? You know, it's all there, and it never moves. It's in the right spot, you know.
And it's not isolated.
Right? Because once you put it on a laptop, you know, you can't keep moving all these other manuals with it. You know, they start getting big. You know, they start getting big and they start getting cumbersome to try and keep track of as a unit, you know what I mean? So the advantage of the web-based is people aren't carrying around an individual PDF. They just know the web address link. They link to it. And then whenever you add information, the reason it's the most easy to add information is because all you got to do is put it in the right spot on the server, add a link to it, and now you're done. You know what I mean? And you're doing the web page edit. So that is more expensive, and someone has to host it. You know, now, so you know, there's cost to it. But in larger organizations, keeping track of the manuals is a hard thing. You know, you get paper copies. You get an electronic copy, but yeah. Joe's got an electronic copy on his desk. Or
you get an old copy, you didn't get the latest
and
version.
And then where did he go, when did the copy go? You know, it ends up being a little bit of a data management tracking as well as the manual itself. You know, it's tracking other manuals.
Let me ask Bernie, is that something that Veolia would like to have, or do you have other plants that you operate that are web-based?
I haven't talked to all of them. Each plant's kind of different as they go through growth. Like when they do an upgrade, they might upgrade the O&M manual. Some have electronic, some still have the old paper versions. It's just really up to the client or the operator at that time. To me, web-based would be great because everything goes like on the filter project. We've got almost four O&M manuals for each piece of equipment. We only need really one, so we got three other. We're just storing. We got massive storage of books from all these projects. Because you get multiple O and M manuals, it'd be nice to just be able to scan one in and have a hyperlink to it. But like I said, there comes a cost to that.
Right, there'd be a cost to it, but and then the other cost is how do you maintain it? Who you assign to do it?
Right.
Who's like hosting the server and all that kind of stuff?
To me, you would have at least. Maybe a yearly, somebody would need to say, okay, we need to update our O&M manual or O&M our site. It wouldn't be a constant thing, but it needs to be like periodically you would want to update it as at least, especially anytime a new process comes online or anytime you change equipment or whatever, yeah. You want to update.
You change out a sensor, like you're going to change a decamp paper from float to analog, you know, you change the sensor, you'd like to be able to link the manual to it if you could.
What kind of energy cost?
Well, it's probably in the 250 range then, you know, versus the 185 or, you know, it also depends a little bit about when you get a quote, you know, when people can't see the data, there's some unknown to it, you know, like how hard is it going to be for you to find all the drawings, how hard is it going to be to find the O&M manuals. There's a treasure hunting process that kind of goes place, you know, because it's like, okay, we built that 10 years ago, is there a manual on that? No, was it, where'd that go? You got to go find this stuff.
That's time involved.
Yeah, there's times involved to go find this information because you want it. You're trying to gather it and get it in one spot.
Well, you still have to, you know.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. So there's always a risk. You know, sometimes manuals come off cheaper, but there's always a risk-based analysis from the firms doing it. It's like you say, hey, you know. You're gonna have to go find this information. You gotta work with the plant. You're gonna have to dig some files over here. You know, we'll hand you drawings, but you're gonna have to go through them, pull out the AutoCAD files that you need, and modify them yourself. And that's what this is. This is, hey, we'll hand you all the drawings, but you're gonna dig through and make them yourself. You know, kind of thing. At other plants, we've done drawings for them, but in this particular case, it didn't seem prudent. It just said simple to make them responsible for all of it.
So one of the things we got going for us is that our current draft O&M manual, we still have all the Word documents, and a lot of that is still valuable now. I mean, there's some that needs to be tweaked, but we still got all of those original Word documents.
Yeah.
Whoever gets this project will have that information.
So we have a decent, we have a head start, if we would, you know. Like I said, really, if we were going to really try and understand some of these fine differences, you know, we might have someone can give us a presentation on options, you know, for instance. Or we could sit down with Stantec and negotiate options and say, well, you know, this or that. Or if not, we can put out an RFP and I can sit with Bernie and I can show him some examples. I mean, I have examples of a PDF copy. I mean, you've seen the Word. You have like a simple Word copy.
Yeah,
right?
We have some, yeah.
We have a PDF copy. I mean, they have some meta ones. We say, well, we want something like this, that kind of a work product, you know, kind of. But there's a big difference between it's a PDF document or it's a web-based document that's electronic. It's what's called electronic version because everything links to itself. You can add information by just putting it in the right spot, you know, and
right.
then link it up. You know.
A couple things. First of all, we already have servers that the town operates off of, correct? So we have our own servers?
Yes, we got one at the wastewater plant, yes.
Yeah.
Do we have all the, I mean, we have capacity. I mean, I don't think finding a host is that big of a deal. I think that it may be an upgrade at this point. It seemed like a luxury item at this point, but I think that the benefit is down the road, it's going to be much easier to maintain the manual if it's web-based than it is to redo it and redo it and redo it if it's in a more of a PDF and or Word file type of system, whereas, you know, 3 or 4 years, I mean, we're going to do a D-night, that, you know, what happens when we decide to do something with plant one and the oxidation, and now we've got another process that we need to incorporate into it. We've got to redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
But if it's web-based, we don't have to redo
right.
the whole thing.
So
we just update that section.
Yeah, so if it's web-based, each chapter would be its own separate chapter. You would just fix that one chapter and change the links however you want, and the automated link to whatever you decided to link it to.
But
you don't change the rest.
Yeah.
But then the rest is automatically published. You know,
it's a different type of...
Now, Bernie had a good point that I hadn't thought about. You want to bring in a point about the water plant?
Oh, about, you know, do we want to just look at the wastewater manual, or do we also look at one for the water side, too? Because we hadn't talked about a 1M manual for the water side.
Oh, I was assuming...
Do it together.
I thought it was both.
I figured everything we do for 200 current.
It's probably more cost efficient to do them together. If just throwing it. I hadn't considered that. I didn't consider that. But
we have no O&M manual for the
water.
We
have paper copies.
Just
the pumps.
How current?
The individual pieces of equipment.
How current is it?
When it was built in 2002 or 2004.
A couple of binders.
Yeah.
But it's like 10 years old or 15 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to do just a reset
well. Responsibility.
Yeah. So they're all paper copies.
So right now, every time we build something, every piece of equipment related to it, we get a paper copy of a manual. And what happens is they start to get, you know, simple, okay, I did this. When you start adding up all the different pump stations and all this stuff, suddenly you know, this little stack, you get like racks and racks and racks of these manuals, and it starts to get extremely difficult to just keep track of what's the current O&M manual for that facility and what's
the
thing, you know.
What's the cost factor on the water?
The water system is by far simpler than wastewater. But
that's similar, but
well, isn't the premise of the O&M for the sewer is that it's required for the permit?
Well, for the treatment plant, it's required. For a Title 22 plant, it's required. But under our NPDES permit, we're required to have an O&M manual on the wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah.
And the first thing that every time we have an incident, they ask, like, where's our O&M manual? Did you follow your O&M manual? You know, so there's legal implications to the.
And I imagine with this, you know, as the water board took over the water division,
right.
We've already got a general NPDES report for water now.
So similarly, in the drinking water permit, what's required is that you have an operations plan, which basically probably serves a similar purpose as the O&M manual. I'm not familiar with the details of what's in the O&M manual, but
we have that.
We have
found out is that there is one on file. I haven't actually reviewed that plan myself.
If you have an operations plan, so the O and the M is operations and maintenance. That's the manual, right? So there's a whole discussion about how you operate the plant. What do you do for bypassing? What do you do in emergencies? And then there's a whole discussion in every area about how you maintain that stuff. And they're linked together in a common manual.
You know, how often you grease, change oil, you know, stuff like that.
And then if it's really done well, they sublink the actual equipment O&M information.
You like,
know.
You know, like we're doing now on the water side,
we
do the biannual testing and wells and all that. That would be part of the M part of the O&M manual.
And so they'll have, in the manual, they'll have your permit at the back. They'll have OSHA safety regulations. They'll have, you know, there's other stuff, you know, that leaks in. For instance, the table of contents that we have.
So for the water,
well, I know
there's not,
that,
there's
that,
not
that, that analogy,
and
that is what I'm trying to say.
We got a lot of government here.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Well, we're just trying to. You're trying to correlate the mandated by law situation. situation that we have here, which we have to address right now, as opposed to what Justin's saying is probably not required by law, at least at this time. Now, who knows if in the future they're going to put some requirements.
Well, so what I'm saying is there is an element of operations that's required by law, which we have on file. And we
how current is it?
It sounds like it's 2016.
16, we did it last year.
Right,
so,
but it's not the kind of document that you go and get an engineering firm and pay them $100,000 to $200,000 to repair.
Does it fulfill the requirement of the state?
Right, yeah, there's a document.
Okay. Let's stick with one thing. I personally like to stick with one thing right now. We have enough expense. I don't know that we have a budget. We're already out of budget. We don't have the money to add something else. If we are, we're looking at something that goes back to 2002, something that goes to 2016. Let's address this first.
We're two on the wastewater.
That's what I'm saying. So let's just, I personally would like to prefer to stick with the wastewater decision at this point and leave the water out of it.
Would there maybe to help make sure the picture that we paint here in everybody's mind is the same picture? Could there be an example of that web-based system? Mm. Maybe I don't know, taking a pump station or a pump or something that we could have that we could display on to show to make sure all of us in this room know what that looks like.
Well, yeah. let me ask this question because Santa, they're with us. Have they ever done a web-based?
Yeah, they're hosting one now. They host one for Lincoln. So they could show us their web-based panel if we wanted to see it. They could come down.
They could do a little display.
They could do a little display if you wanted
to see it. Yeah, kind of like
hosting costs.
Huh?
Well, they're hosting up there, but I agree with you. I think we can host here. We got plenty of servers.
I would
set it up so we hosted it because we already have remote access to our own servers. It's just a matter of putting permission where it's at. So. I don't know what their hosting cost is, but they host it and they change it for the client. So, but I certainly we can have them display what it looks like, you know, when it's done at the end of the day, and we can have them bring in other examples like the PDF file. Like I have examples that I can show other manuals they've done that I looked at when I started with them.
I like that idea. I mean, we both like that idea of. Getting a dog and pony show, show us how it works, the process, with the bang for the buck, and then everybody has a chance to take a look at it and evaluate it and see if it's worth the thing.
Well, and I think we should do two things. Have them do that, but have them be prepared or have discussed with you guys enough that they could come in and give us maybe two costs.
Okay.
What do we have in the budget?
Before we decide to.
Yes, so 200,000 for water we don't have.
Okay. We're going to save you on that one for now, I think. So you have we have 200,000 in the budget right now for it.
Okay. He's guessing over 200,000.
I'm with you, but I'm looking at the future too. With if we save future dollars, it's worth whatever some of the things we have to go through right at the moment. That's my personal opinion.
We have to delay something, push it off another year in order to come up with something that helps us now. I'm open to. I'm still uncomfortable with the numbers, but I would like to go to the next step now that you've given us information on why and how the numbers can be everywhere.
Yeah. My estimate is if you go out to bid, it's going to take time. If you're going to start the own manual, it's going to take time. So you're going to be pushed into the next fiscal year anyways. So you can carry over.
Yeah, I think it starts for the billing.
So.
To where
right. It splits two fiscal years,
so
150, 100, or something like that.
Yeah, we're actually on the very cusp of being able to get it done entirely in this fiscal year.
Right, so if you're not going to be able to do that, then the next fiscal year is going to add a little bit to it if you wanted something.
Well, you did with it.
I know we're getting into the holidays and we're running out of time.
I can bring you to the next meeting. We can have your presentation at
right.
The next meeting.
Next meeting is going to be next year.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to spend money on this. We should give what everyone's comfortable.
Let's give us some ideas before we go into the CIP budget time. Mm-hmm.
So you don't? Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking next week.
Oh, well, I can get here next
week
too, if we want to do that. You know, they're ready to talk.
give a presentation. It's not hard for them to give a presentation because all they do is bring a laptop. They just turn it on and show you the manual.
Yeah, but this time of year, it gets somebody out last minute.
Well, I think it's more
of 22nd. I mean, let me look.
22nd, you're not open.
21st, I mean, Thursday.
Thursday, we got
we have a dinner. That's why I'm free. We can have come do the presentation at the Christmas party.
No. Yeah. How is your morning? Are you morning available for you, or tied up a lot? Is there any? Okay, let me back up. Is there any? We're under a time restraint. We got to make a decision whether we're going out or staying with these guys or something.
It's not a rush. Yeah, I think what you're leading up to.
Right.
I think we have a month. You know, we just don't want it to languish. We gotta get going and get it done. You know,
mm-hmm. Right.
But as long as we're, you know, making progress on the decision, I'm okay. If we have to push it, you know, to have a presentation, I'm okay with that.
Well, okay. If we go ahead and wait till January, can we move this meeting up a little sooner than the end of January?
Yeah.
We can have another special meeting and cancel the regular meeting.
Yeah.
First week of January.
Screwed up. I didn't bring my work calendar with me, so I don't have my schedule for the for daytime.
Well, how about tentatively? And that way you could check.
What do you guys
are we? What about 2 weeks from now? So let's start with that. Is that 2 weeks?
Well,
close
to 2 weeks from now.
January 21st.
It's the 21st of December. That's out.
Alright.
How about January 4th? That's a Thursday.
Okay, so let me think about this.
You
come back the 2nd, we've got to immediately put out the agenda, the special meeting stuff.
The board meeting's canceled for the 3rd.
And the board meeting's canceled for the 3rd.
Well, if we know it, if the 4th would work.
We can
Carol knows it
before
now.
You leave.
Yeah, you could do it before you leave, and
how about the 18th and the 19th? Would that?
Well, we're regular meetings the 18th.
17th. I mean,
18th. Thursday the 18th.
Yeah, that's our regular meeting.
Mm-hmm. Monday's the 18th.
January.
Oh, I was thinking. I was back.
Yeah, we're not. We've decided.
December's out. It's like we're not going to be able to do it.
There's too much going on. All right.
Okay.
People vacation time between Christmas.
So,
I mean, I guess the only reasonable, I mean, if you bump it up a week to the 11th.
Well, the 4th works, doesn't it?
Does the 4th work?
Yeah, we can do the 4th. You're not.
4th works in your
game. Special meeting.
Okay, so they have a special meeting for the 4th, cancel the regular meeting.
I'll let you know in 5 minutes of getting home if that doesn't work for me. Yeah.
4 o'clock on the 4th.
So the one thing that the 4th affords us then is I can bring Stantec with meeting and me and Veolia first.
Right.
And we can come up with different options and different
sure.
costs.
Yeah,
so we can say, okay,
you
here's
time to do that.
A, B, and C options. We've seen the plan. We've gone through these documents. We're firm on these costs. And we've seen how we hosted web-based. And then it gives us an example of each.
Okay, so the meeting,
right.
Special meeting on the 4th at 4 p.m.
Okay.
Carol.
Got it.
All right.
You're here most of the
time. Yep, that's fine.
What about for you and me?
This week, next week?
I'm unfortunately unavailable next week. It's Friday the 15th or 18th or 19th. Or actually, Friday the 15th or any of those days before the following week.
Basically put together all the final numbers that will be going out for the costs. So install a standard type 2 service. So other than that one house that we've been aware of the whole time and kind of planning for, everything else has been installed. So at this stage, we are looking at the second to last pay request for JW Tobacco, verifying all of that. Their numbers match all of our numbers, that they completed all of the requirements under their scope, that they're going to clean up and do everything that they need to close out their contract. So that's kind of the stage we're at right now with managing the JW contract. And we're also coordinating with the district in terms of the final cost of the project, the final cost allocations, the cost of the meter contract, the cost of that or the extra cost that occurred from a particular resident, obstruction to resident issues on the property, and the infrastructure that's been upgraded throughout the project. So we're kind of at that stage of finalizing those numbers. And there will be a little bit more working with the district. I think throughout December will be the period of basically closing out JW and making sure that the construction payments to them are totally accurate and that their scope is completed and we can close them out. And then through January, we'll probably be picking up these discussions in January in terms of finalizing all of the numbers that will be presented for the customer billing.
Top 10 users? top 10 leaks.
How many down through the chimney?
How
many? Well, for example, a guy on Discovery Day Boulevard, he had left the day after Thanksgiving, flushed his toilet, left.
And it kept running.
That's correct. The flapper was hung up. Or the chain.
Or the chain broke or something.
And so now he registered 200 gallons an hour. And so now I had to find him. He lived in Sunnyvale. Going through the white pages and all that, we found him. Said, hey, you have a 200 gallon leak. Can I shut your water off? He said, sure. But unbeknownst to me, he had a leak in his house prior to that. And so he's thinking his floor is getting flooded.
He's out
in Sunnyvale. And so he did tell me shut off. He came over yesterday. We went through that. And he said, I walked through my house. I can't find the leak. And I says, this tells me, almost like the toilet, because I've had a couple of these already. Check your drawers. And sure enough, it was the master.
Would a stuck flapper be 200 gallons a day?
Four gallons a minute. 45 gallons a minute, sure.
Well, it's like your hose on. Your hose on.
Yeah. It's cold.
If it was 10 gallons a minute, that would be like...
You're going to fix that flapper now, aren't you?
Replacing guts on my toilet.
Well, you know, a lot of times it's a chain that hangs up.
It's happened to me many times.
Yeah, so when we get back, my question, you said we take the top 10 a day. So how many do we have?
Today was 324.
Holy.
Leaks?
But some of them are 2 gallons.
Whatever, but it's still,
a leak. And some of them are false, meaning that when I go out there, before I knock on the door, I verify the meter again to make sure it's showing the leak. If it doesn't, then I close it off. So some of those today, the 324, I went out to the site and they weren't showing the leak.
Okay. So where are those false positives coming from?
Well, it could have been they fixed it before the last send, the 24
hours.
Because
the faucet was on and they turned the faucet off.
Correct.
They might
maybe they noticed
putting
the
water in the bowl for their cat. I know people that do that.
Maybe. Some of us leave the water running for a cat. Yeah. Yeah.
They won't be after January. The cat will be thirsty.
So if we look forward, and let's just fast forward to July, this coming July, we would have pretty much a leak-free system from home.
Well, we hope to.
Down to a manageable size where you're getting 10 for a week.
Yeah, unless somebody's pipe burst, that type of thing.
Or flapper hangs up or something, but you won't have 300 of them.
I hope not.
I think what else you'll get is what you're going to get is you're going to get more awareness by the consumer of the things that they're doing that's causing what seems to be a leak or may or may not be. And I think that that's part of an education. I mean,
some
knock on the door and say, hey, I need to look at your house. Can I look at your house because I'm getting a reading?
No, I don't go in the house unless they want me to come in.
Well,
really. Some of them I sent letters to because I went out there and they haven't fixed it. And so now I'm really getting desperate. And I'm saying, I believe it to be an irrigation. Let's shut this off. Let's wait 24 hours and see. And sure enough, most of the time, that's
most of the time it's irrigation.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to pay for water anyway, right?
They are.
Yeah, they're paying for it. So, yeah.
And there's one Yahoo out there, I'll call Yahoo, one person. apparently doesn't give a darn. Yeah.
Because he says it won't respond? Well, there's wealthy people in Discovery Bad Bird.
Well, we may go to step B because there's legislation that says that they're not allowed to waste water like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
okay.
Put plan B there. Oh, yeah. We got off track.
So, no, that's good. I mean, that's the benefit of having the meters. So, I mean, I think that's good that you're already getting a handle on what that process is going to be in terms of fixing those leaks. I am curious how fine-tune of a leak you might be able to detect just through the meter alone. I mean, the 200 gallon a day might be something that's maybe obvious in terms of you're looking at when the
system tells us.
Yeah.
And it goes when you look at that.
It never hits zero, basically.
It should hit zero.
Yeah.
And then you have no leaks.
Right.
But
at some point in the day, it should be zero.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
So if it's not, then there's a leak.
A person about a week ago were filling up a pole.
Yeah.
So they used the hose to fill up the pole. So that took longer than 24 hours.
Yeah.
So that registered as a leak.
Right.
Potentially.
Right. Okay. That's good.
Right.
That's going to be a huge benefit.
Okay. So we're
determining what best handoff we can provide with the data that we've obtained throughout the project, and what format would make the most sense for the customer billing that needs to be developed for the project. We're looking at, I could report if you want to hear about the totals.
Always like big numbers.
Exactly, we can talk about that. But that's basically where we're at. That's the status of the project. So, total installations that installed, okay, meters for this project, 3,495. What was estimated originally in this project prior to construction, which was an estimate prepared by the staff, was 3,531. So 3,495 is what we installed. 3,531 was estimated. So we're very close. And there happens to be 29. We have 3,495 installations, and there's 29 that we've noted are vacant lots. And there's two that were skipped. I'm sorry, I said three that were skipped, but one of them was Augusta, and it's going to be installed. So there will be 3,496 when Augusta's installed. There's two that were skipped, and one of them is a house that's under construction. And then the other one was skipped because it's a house that had dual services, and the homeowner decided they don't want a meter on their second service, so we're just going to cap that service. So,
college?
Huh?
Was it college?
No.
It's on Sunset.
Sunset, yeah.
Next door to the
so we were really
so
off.
Exactly. We're off by a handful, essentially.
Yeah, no, that's very good. I'm satisfied with that.
Right. Now, the difference that came into play is the quantity of ones, twos, and threes, meter type installations.
Yeah.
So there tended to be less. There was 195 fewer type ones, which were the cheaper installations. There was less of those than we anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
There was 25 more of the type threes, which were the more expensive installations. And then the remainder was more type twos. There was more type twos as well.
Picked up that type one.
Picked up that type one.
Okay.
Type ones went to type twos.
Right.
Some type twos went to type three. Well, yeah, and what it turned out to be, I was talking to John McDougal, was the resident inspector, along with Aaron McCool, Aaron. And so when we were talking about a lot of the ones to twos was the meter setter that wasn't going to fit, so plumbing was going to be required. So if there was what was designated as a type one, because it was anticipated that set, but it wasn't going to fit, there would be plumbing required, and the box may have had to be reset or upgraded, and so some of those ones just became twos. So that affected the cost of the project, of course, because it's more expensive for type twos than type ones, and it's more expensive.
It is what it is.
Right. So total, the meter contract costs, in terms of what was billed under the contract for the installations of the meter types, and the other bid items from JW was approximately, I'm using approximate numbers now because we're still finalizing everything right now, right? So it was $1,450,000 or $1,460,000, somewhere around there, $1.45 million, and the bid amount was $1.39 million. So there's an increase of $60,000-$70,000 on the contract.
But I just wanted to jump in. That includes those brass fittings too.
Right. So one of the components was the totals that we just talked about, and the other aspect of the higher cost was we switched. About a quarter of the way, it was in April, it was on April 3rd, so I was doing the math, it was a 10-month project, and that was 2 months into it, so a fifth of the way into the project. We switched from allowing scheduling fittings to be used to requiring brass fittings to be used. So originally, we were allowing scheduling because it was a lower cost, but we started to see leaks in those fittings. There was one street that had a bad batch of scheduling, and they all had to go get replaced. And of course, when you're in the middle of construction and we're having to go back and replace leaks, everybody says, hey, let's not mess with that again. So we switched the brass at that point, which added $15 to $17 per service for the brass fit. And when you extrapolate that out to 2,000 connections, it's about $35,000.
So that was the overage over the estimate.
The brass fit.
Was because we changed the brass fit. So,
I just wanted to also add on top of that, That's the construction component only of this project. We had increased costs because when everybody decided they wanted to have each house billed separately for its individual actual cost.
Right.
That was supposed to be done in 6 months. We've had extra management costs and extra costs associated with, you know, that component of making, yeah, everybody's now going to pay more because it cost us more to do it that way. So because
the overhead's divided up among 3,500 homes. Whatever.
That's exactly right. That gets costly. So
we broke, there were other costs on the project. So what I'm trying, we separated into three categories, and I just covered the first category, which is meter contract costs.
Sure.
And that was to compare in terms of what was bid and what was actually installed. Then as we go through the project, there are issues that come up on sites, obstructions. If there's a tree in the way or a mailbox on top of the meter, and that's not really part of a type 1, 2, or 3, that needed to be handled through an extra work, that would be basically assessed on that property. So there were obstructions that
right.
That's
a reimbursement.
Yeah. Those would be. Because the costs have to be because we were directed to account for costs unique to each property. If there's an issue on a property that was outside of the scope of what was determined, so we had to keep detailed records to make sure that every single property where the issue did come up was tracked, and we had to have a lot of communication to be able to make these decisions, in real time in the field,
right.
Between the two inspectors, between the managers, when things were really hard to determine. Those costs are approximately $100,000 over 571 sites, to average of $160.
No impact to the town, and we didn't discuss it with the homeowner prior.
Oh, you didn't.
They'll get it on their bill.
Yeah,
that's an actual cost associated with their bill.
What's the third cost?
The third cost is the infrastructure.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. So as we go through the project, valves fail, and more are rusted, and they're past their service life. And obviously, coming into this project, in a perfect world, the town, we would have been involved earlier. We would have went through, maybe had somebody survey these. But even then, the cost to go and survey and determine how many valves you're going to replace, just to know the number at the end, you're going to replace them anyway,
right.
And you're going to replace it on time and material. We ended up getting a quote from JW early on when we knew we were going to start to run into these at more than a 5. It turned out to be a little bit over 10% frequency in terms of how many valves were actually failed past their service life. The quote he had to cover himself was like $1,700. When we managed it in time and material, it turned out to be about $1,300 in the end, average price.
And that's about 350 of them?
There were over 500. Oh. So there was $800,000 in infrastructure for EMS management.
Some of those, what they call an angle meter stop, is turned at an angle. When you open your meter box, you have a tool that you turn on. Some of these are at an angle. So you could not physically, you could turn them off, but you have to use a pressure wrench. You can't use our standard tool, and you have more chance of breaking. So some of those, we had to bring them out of the truck. And so in order to do that, you had to replace them.
How much contingency do we have in this project?
You have, for construction,
Yeah, that's not going to cover
$800,000. No, and for staffing,
$45,000. And those contingencies are related to the homeowners will pay for the actual contingency amounts that we actually spend related to the project.
I did that. But is that $800,000 we have available?
No, the only thing we can think of is that through time, it'll make up that difference because we're spending $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 on infrastructure.
Well, that's pretty much what I think we the thought process behind it was just do it now while we got it dug up because we're gonna have to come out and do it 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 years anyway.
$1,300 instead of $3,200.
In some cases, these were pretty substandard, so now they're up to what would be much better installations.
And a lot of it was substandard by the developer.
Right. Not all of them, I would say, are in that category. Some of them are just
or were they in the street too? Were
no,
they
no, they're all at the meter location.
Okay.
Yeah, but in
so did the,
case,
did the shutoff valve for the house? Is what you're talking
the
about.
Shutoff at the yes, the angle meter stop or the curb stop. It's not the quarter stop, which would be located in the street at the main line, right where the service line ties into the main. So we didn't ever have to go back that far to the main line, I don't think.
No.
We better have to go back to the main line. But there's and
we did have to replace some valves in the street, but
yeah.
When we shut down the street, it leaked right away. So now that became a leak in the street.
Right.
So now we had to shut down and fix that before
right.
we can move on.
And
there was some
kind of
stuff.
I'm with you. In terms of information that's gathered, there's a lot of value. Like in terms of the valves, there was a lot of exercising of valves essentially that took place. So we know in that area where we had to shut off what valves were good or what had to be replaced. And so that information we, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of that information yet, but I saw that you had data.
We planned it.
You had them fill all that the valve sheets out. So there's data there.
From a water standpoint, then everything in this older part of town, all the valves have been.
Well, no, we didn't have to exercise every single valve. We would only operate a valve. We had to replace an angle meter stop on that street.
These are veins in the street. Valves
yeah.
in the street we're talking
right.
about.
But every angle meter stop was operable. That's for sure. You know, every shutoff valve to the customer is.
Which is still owned, which is still infrastructure of the town.
Yes. The town.
After that angle stop that the owner owns it.
After the meter.
After the meter is the owner owns it, right.
So the town owns the meter?
Town owns
it. Yeah, the town.
So, yeah, but the customer. I know from personal experience we did find a lot. Several valves. I mean, just in our complex alone, there's what six valves I think that we had to go replace in the street.
In the
yours? Yeah.
Yeah, we could not close down.
Yeah.
So what we did is we dug it out. What happened to be a lot of mineral deposits caused a nut fable not to turn. We turned too hard and we bust the nut.
And then you got.
And then all of a sudden we've got guys are coming.
Right.
So we even looked out. So now once we open the street, open that valve and expose it. Now that we got it working free, now I say replace the bolts because they're steel with stainless steel before we cover back up.
Right.
So 2 months or a year from now, we're not digging that up because the bolt went back.
Okay.
I have one more thing on the meters, though. You know, we talked about the 1 meter with the palm tree coming down on the 12th and we're going down to 13th. We still have San Diego condos.
Mm.
Remember, 52 units and we have 9 meters. They've elected to purchase the meters and have a plumbing company put them in, and they are coming in. Part of the work might start tomorrow, but the rest of it will probably be next week. So there's 9 meters, but 8 meters, right? So I just want to let you be aware.
That's separate.
Now they're going to have their own machine.
So there were those costs that took place that weren't. Part of the meter project, and so when you add it all up, it was all payments to JW with the contract that we had with them for this project. And when you add it all up, total payments made to JW would be $2.3 million for the whole project, adding all those three components up together. And just out of curiosity, I wanted to look into other meter projects and see how much of those projects cost, assuming they find themselves in the same, finding the same situations and having to address similar issues, right? A water system is kind of a water system.
Right.
Right?
Distribution is distribution.
Exactly. So I don't know if it's of interest. It could be a new point, but I think, in fact, the timeline is very, we did a really good job in terms of timeline. The fact that we installed 3,500 water meters, the town was able to install 3,500 in 10 months, and which turned out to be about 150 working days. And I'm looking at, like, City of Sacramento in 2014. They did 3,500 water meters. It took them 215 working days. City of Sacramento, again, in 2016, did 2,500 water meters in 130 working days, about the same amount of time that it took us to do 3,500. So the construction crew, the inspectors, acquiring the data, and I don't know how these other agencies are billing back to customers, but in terms of what was accomplished in this timeline, it is pretty impressive with that. You know, there was a
We didn't notice they're not including the meter boxes, the contingencies, the meter cost itself.
Yeah, if you just want to know everything, including infrastructure and everything, I have right now about 4.1.
Because that's what I'm trying to compare on this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, but we don't know how much infrastructure they did prepare.
Well, we don't know. No, I mean, I can dig further, but I was just looking at
3,500.
Still under. Even with the $100,000, almost $1 million with infrastructure repair, we're still $1 million less than them, right?
Right. I mean, this is just.
I mean, it makes you feel good. I'm not sure what it really means.
I don't know.
It makes me feel good.
Well, I mean, I think it's all already because you want to know.
You didn't waste, is what it means.
Complete the project.
I think as efficiently as possible.
Amount of time.
And efficiently.
Well, and I think
what's that point. Yeah, and I think what's one thing that's to point out is that I think it's probably hard for these agencies to budget a meter project because of these unknowns that are going to come up on a site by site basis. I mean, nobody's going to spend the time to go and survey every individual property and develop a specification around that, because that's, in the end, you're going to just do the work that takes to get it done.
Right.
And if you have a good crew and you have good inspectors and you're able to document the time and material, and you know everything is a legitimate cost, and it just kind of is what it is. But on the flip side, it's hard to budget that kind of a project. So it's probably hard for most. I find in talking to agencies, a lot of them say, yeah, we just can't take on a lot, so we'll do 500 a year. You know, they just kind of spread it out over a long period of time, because that's what they can manage with their staff, and they have a contractor on retainer or something like that. So.
Okay, well, thank you for the update.
Thanks for your hard work there, Jeff.
Forward to get this all done and send the bills out.
Speaking of those extra numbers,
and then put it through the test.
Well, I know we'll be present today.
I got an IBA, so I'm okay. President just means you're still just one of five, and I'll make sure I'm clear to point that out. Let me direct those comments to.
Do you want to take down what number it is?
So I knew the president. That comes with the territory.
I just kind of feel them.
Okay. Is there any other items?
No.
You
bring up a good point, though. I would like to get those comparison numbers you have in the report to the district manager. So at the point when if we do start taking a barrage, we have some.
I've already told him that.
Okay. So we can try to make ourselves look as good as possible.
Correct.
Right.
Thank you.
One other item. We started the diffuser evaluation today in Old River. And we TV'd the diver didn't go, but we TV'd the inside of the pipe. It's 220 feet long or so. We got 150 feet in, and the camera completely got buried and could not go any farther in the pipe. So we have not.
Distribution's not happening really well.
It just hit the muck, and that was it. And then we did a flow test. We used to flow about 4.5 MGD from the pump station. We couldn't flow more than 3.1 MGD at the effluent pump station, the export pump station. So that's our beginning. You know, obviously, they can do evaluation and stuff like that. But at the moment, we can't. About half our diffuser is plugged in unusable.
Is that an engineering issue? Is it not engineered to deal with the silt and everything?
It was engineered, and someone broke off our valves and some other stuff. You know, so we are going to have a diver next week look into this. If Rick Bishop ever called me back, but we're basically getting into that. But at the moment, it's clear that we have significant damage to the diffuser.
We have a pretty good feel for that at our January 4th meeting.
Yeah, we'll have more information.
We have
the future agenda item.
Yeah.
We'll put it on January 4th.
Carol, the fusion update.